my heart. We are bringing
Love
it to Love
Talk Radio.
If it wasn't for Dr. John Coleman. All right. And I just want to make sure you tune in tomorrow. We're going to have some amazing people speaking about how she made a difference. It was very radical for a lady back in 1950 to decide to bring to us a new thought in our own community where people were very traditional. And we didn't even have a lot of I don't even know if it was probably a handful of female pastors, if any, back then. And for her to stand in her own courage and say, we're going to look at God from a different perspective. And so, James, I'm just really excited to bring her story to life tomorrow right here on The Love Journey.
It's beautiful.
All right, James, I guess we're on. I think we're on. Are we on?
Yes, we are. We're on. Fine order.
All right. Welcome, Blog Talk listeners and all those out there. Good morning, good morning. You are tuning in to The Love Journey, Inc. And so we just want to give honor and glory and open up this line with a prayer. James, would you like to do the honors today?
I will definitely do the honors today. Let us all be still, center ourselves. Let's be in this divine moment. Mother, Father, God, all that is, we just rejoice at life, the divine life that flows through us, the divine life that we are. We just thank you for this opportunity to come together in sacred communion, sacred fellowship, an opportunity to be of service to one another and to be of service to the planet. And we ask that you be with your son that's coming to share his gift with us. Anoint him with your presence. Anoint him with the assistance of the angels and guides who work with him, that we may share in the gift that he has and have our life empowered and enriched so we can be of greater service. And so it is.
And so it is. I just want us to give a few minutes of silence to send love to our sister, Nadja J. Brown, whose sister made her transition to Bula. And we just want to send love and comfort to the family, to remind the family that there's no separation in spirit, but to also send them love and encouragement through this process of their sister and every role she played in their life, family, and friends. As she left the planet, left the physical body, we want to just honor her and honor the presence of Tabula, sending love into the Nadja J. Brown's family. And so, family, if you get a chance today, send a text, call, send some love. Our sister Nadja J. Brown lost her sister this week, and I just want to make sure that the Love Journey honors her. We will be sending flowers, so if anybody want to contribute $5, $2, or anything toward the flowers for Nadja and her sister, you know, please let me know. Anyway, we still will be sending flowers. Thank you so much. I'll turn it back over to you, James, so we can introduce our phenomenal, amazing energy, who is really a gift to the planet. I just love his love energy, you know. He just matches mine.
Yes, we have the privilege this month on the Love Journey, Ascended Master Mystery School, to have just wonderful, anointed, powerful guests. The majority of our guests that have come on have been referred to us by our very beloved Dr. David. And Ed Spina, Dr. David, contacted me on several occasions and said, you know, you got to get Ed on the show. You guys will just love him. He's a very powerful, effective energy worker working with the Divine Realms and Ascended Masters. And, of course, you know, been busy with everything. I didn't do it right away. And he checked back and, did you do it? So I finally did it. And we just come to love Ed and his generosity, his humble spirit. And now, Ed, if you can star six yourself and come on and join the Love Journey family.
Let me see. I'm on. Do you know the last four of his number?
I'll tell you in a second.
Here. Okay, I think I did it.
There he is.
Good morning.
Hello, Janine, James.
Good morning, Ed.
Love Journey.
Good morning, Ed. Before you start, can you give, you know, a little brief bio who you are and some about, we have a lot of new callers and we're on Blog Talk Radio now, so we got a lot, a big expansion going on. Last week we had 97 new people total listening to the call, so I want to make sure everyone knows who Ed, who you are, because you're so amazing, how they can contact you, who you are, what you do, how you bring your gift to the planet, and anything you want to share before you start.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, well, I'm a self-described author, speaker, and mystic. And I didn't start out that way. I started out as a traditional human being. I had no interest in spirituality, nothing whatsoever. But an unusual experience happened that put me on the spiritual path. At the time, I had been studied mathematics, wrote software for a computer company, went to the University of Chicago, where I got an MBA, and was working in the venture capital business. Even that wasn't high-powered enough and fast-paced enough, so I decided I needed to start my own company. So I became an entrepreneur because I wanted to be like the next Steve Jobs, or Bill Gates at least. I didn't want to just be that was my interest at the time. So a girlfriend at the time sent me to Blockbuster Video to get something to watch for dinner and a movie, and it was before they even had DVDs, so they just had videotapes. And right next to the counter was a compilation of tapes, and one of them was from Dick Sutphin's Past Life Regression, and it promised to relieve my stress. When I was a stressed-out entrepreneur, I said, I better try this out. This can help me. And it said, curiously, it would also let me recall my past lives. And so I didn't know anything about past lives, but I said, let's try it out anyway. So the short story is, we popped the videotape into the VCR, I watched it, went into an altered state, and I recalled a past life in significant detail. And subsequently, I researched it to see that everything that I had seen was accurate. Now, I didn't automatically assume that this is a past life because I was coming from that rigid, mathematical, left-brain mentality. But what I knew is that I had tapped into a source of information that I had no way of knowing because I didn't study history or anything spiritual. So that's when I realized that my education was incomplete and I needed to study this in order to be a fully educated human being. So I began studying reincarnation, karma, metaphysics, anything related to spirituality, all under the umbrella of mysticism, which to those who aren't familiar with the term precisely, is a spiritual discipline aimed at direct communion with God or the cosmic or the all that is, by whatever name you give that highest power. And so it's more of an experiential course of action than a theoretical or intellectual pursuit. So I wanted to know the laws of the universe, and I just began studying everything I could, and that's what drew the attention of my first mentor, Sophie, who took me under her wing, and she saw the hunger that I had to learn this material, and so she began working with me. And in a few short months, most of my contact with her was telepathic. And just as clear as we're talking right now, I could communicate with her. I would feel the tingling in my third eye in the center of my forehead, and I would go sit in a recliner or even lay down in my bed, and I would have conversations with her where she would answer my questions. And as soon as she got me to that point where I was so happy that here she is helping me with my new company and I'm becoming more and more spiritually aware, then she disappeared as if she never existed. No office phone, home address, no connection with her whatsoever. And worst of all, I couldn't even connect with her in my meditations anymore. And that was one of the valuable lessons that she taught me, is that you shouldn't rely on anyone, no matter how gifted they are, other than your own inner master, your own divine spark, master within, I am presence, by whatever name you want to give it, that's who you have to take. That's the ultimate guru. And so I continued on this path of studying the spirituality, including lots of different energy healers, until I met my second mentor, who had a near-death experience, and when he came back to Earth, he had way more energy than anyone I've come across. So the first question I asked him is, how do I get that energy? And he says, well, you know, stick around, and you know, I'll pump your energy up over time, and you'll be able to access these same higher realms and be able to transmit the same massive amounts of higher vibrational energy that he uses to heal people. And so I worked with him for 2.5 years, almost on a weekly basis. And he would, every week I'd bring carloads of people with different ailments up to see him, because he was about an hour and 15 minutes away from my office. And doing that, every week he would pump my energy up. The following week it would come down a little bit. Then the next week he'd pump it up. Then the following week it'd come down a little bit. But over time my energy was ratcheting upwards, and I was holding on to more and more energy, until after about a year of doing this, I could just wave my hands like he did, that he instructed me, open up a portal and bring in the higher vibrational energy to help people. And this higher vibrational energy, what is so apropos for our call here today, the love journey, the secret of this higher vibrational energy, which helps clear out your energy centers and flush your energy bodies, the secret is that these are just higher octaves of love. So when people tell you that love is the most powerful force in the universe, they're literally, it's not a platitude, it's not some nice feel-good aphorism, it's the truth. That's what's used to clear out someone's energy centers, that's what's used to flush a person's energy bodies and help them become more and more powerful, and ultimately to connect with their own I Am presence, where the I Am presence and themselves are one. Just like Jesus said, you know, the Father and I are one, that's what he's talking about. When your I Am presence, when your own individual highest self is giving you direction, and that's coming through you, and you're using your own unique gifts and sharing them with the planet, then you and the Father are one as well. So, anyway, that's my brief introduction, and I'm just happy to be here, both James and Janine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's always a pleasure to have you here. You know, just having your presence here is so soothing. You have such a soothing presence. It's just powerful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
I want to talk about, you say, you know, I know people always talk about love is this feel-good thing. I think that people really don't get what love really is, you know, because we've been conditioned for so long, Ed, to believe love to look like something other than the truth. I mean, even when we grew up in our own religion, God will punish us. God, and all the thought processes that we even learned about God gave us an understanding of love that was not true. Mm-hmm. And even being conditioned in our household, if you be a good girl, I'll love you, kind of, or a good boy, you know, you'll get love. But can you kind of expound on love? And do you see love as a feeling, or do you see love as a vibration or a feeling? How do you describe love? As much
right.
as you
love,
can describe it, because I know describing it would limit it.
Right. That's a very good point. Well, it's funny, with our English language, we have one word for love, and that is love.
Mm-hmm.
But other languages have multiple words to describe it, because there are so many different aspects to love.
Mm-hmm.
And the one language that I look to a lot is the old ancient Greek language, the language of the philosophers. Because they distinguish different types of love. The love that most people think of, or, well, not most, especially, we just came past Valentine's Day, is the romantic love, which the Greeks called eros, you know, erotic love, the love between man and woman. But there's other types of love as well, like philos, the brotherly love, the love between fellow man, woman, man. And not so much romantic love, but more platonic love. And Philos, you know, gives us the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's what they're talking about there. Then they have another name for love, love between a mother and child, or between family members, storge. So that, once again, we have a third type of love. But the love that I think you're talking about, Janine, and which is the most powerful love of all, is the one that's no longer conditional, that's infinite, divine, love, and that is agape. So when Michael Beckwith named his ministry the agape, he knew what he was talking about, because agape is that divine love that is unconditional, infinite, and is the most powerful force in the universe. And that is what I'm using to clear people out. It's been a few months now. I was at an event here in LA, the 5D events, and I was on the love panel. And one of the questions people ask is, what's this energy healer doing on the love panel? And I had to explain. Energy healers, the ones who are at their top of their game, are using love to do the healing. It's that infinite, unconditional, divine love which you bring through, which anyone can tap into, which clears out your energy centers, which helps you to connect with your own I Am presence more clearly, to hear that small, still voice within. And it's that those higher octaves of love which flush your energy bodies, your emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies, which also comprise you. Everyone knows you're not merely a physical body, but you have these higher vibrational bodies that also are part of you. And that's love that's used to clear out those energy bodies, so that once again you're not distracted by all the noise and of living here on this planet with this discordant energies going around that lead you astray. And so that you're not listening to the voice of God, that your own I Am presence coming through, because you get distracted. And by using the power of love, you can flush all those away and be able to listen to the small, still voice within and help you to connect with the rest of humanity and share your gifts with the world. So that's my view of love.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So you characterize love as a vibration and not just a feeling.
Right. It's way beyond just a mere feeling or emotion. Love is
right.
The force that holds the universe together. And when love is coherent, when your energy bodies are all in alignment, I use coherent versus discordant. Discord is when things are abrupt and shocking to the energy of your being and sometimes your ears. That's not conducive to connecting with your own I Am presence. It's when everything's coherent that everything flows. That's when you're in the flow. That's when synchronicities happen, meaningful coincidences. When something happens, it's that, I was just thinking about this. You, Martha, and here you are calling me on the phone. How is that? When you're totally in the flow, when you're all your energy bodies are in alignment, synchronicities become a way of life. Because ultimately there is only the one thing, the oneness, and we're all participating in this one thing. We are all, as Shakespeare said, actors on this divine play. When you're in the flow and when you're connected with your presence, then the entire world looks to you like a synchronicity. Everything happens for a reason. And the only reason we don't see that is because we get mirrored down in our little 3D mentality where everything seems separate and it's not connected, and we don't recognize the big picture. So, but using love, that helps you to connect to your divine presence and makes everything a synchronicity.
Okay, so Ed, you just said that love helps you connect your divine presence. For someone who's new to all of this, come from other modalities of thinking. I mean, what does that really mean? Love is helping me connect with my divine presence. Because it's like, it could be just a cliche or something you're saying that I'm not relating to or connecting with. So
right.
How can you assist us with really connecting with that, where it's an experiential reality and not just words you're saying to us that sound spiritual?
Right, right. Okay, well, similar to what we did last week where we did the total love immersion, one of the fundamental principles is that everything is energy. And when you're many spiritual disciplines talk about using the breath, focusing on the breath. I mean, as you breathe in, you're breathing in the air. And if you focus on the breath, you're going to meditate. You're going to get to higher states of consciousness. And that's true. But the true underlying message is not merely that you're focusing on the breath, but you're focusing on the energy which underlies each of the breaths. So this is a kind of exercise that everyone can do whenever they want. Don't do it when you're driving, but you want to connect more deeply with your own inner master. You want to use the power of love. As you breathe in, you go to a quiet meditative place, you breathe in, and as you're breathing in, recognize that you're not just breathing in the oxygen from the air, but you're breathing in the energy that surrounds you. And so you choose which kind of energy you want to have coming into you. So just visualize that you're breathing in love. And the love I use is the absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love, the agape, that everything. So just as you breathe in, feel that you're breathing in love, it's going into your lungs, and your lungs are, and into your heart, and your lungs are transporting this love to every cell in your body, bathing every cell of your body with this love. And if you just do that simple exercise, within a couple minutes, you're going to just feel totally relaxed, you're going to be back in sync. And as you exhale, you can also release any stress, fear, anger, things that are dissonant or discordant, that are jarring. Let them go. And just do that for a few minutes, and you're going to be in a totally different space. So that's when you can actually experience the power of love, just by using your intention and that simple exercise of breathing and looking to the underlying energy beneath each breath.
Thank you. That was excellent.
So let's talk more about energy. You know, I understand that everything is energy, and energy cannot be destroyed nor created. Albert Einstein talks about energy a lot, recognizing that if everything is energy and everything is a reflection of our own energy, let's talk about how we show up through our energy. Let's talk about energy.
Okay. Well, the fundamental truism is that everything is energy. You as a physical being are energy. Even physicists have talked about this, that everything is energy. And the thing that makes the energy, that gives it direction, is your intention. So back in the early 1900s, when physicists were trying to discover what's an electron, you know, is it a particle? Everyone thought it was a particle. Then other people started coming up with this idea that an electron is a wave. And what they discovered is they could create experiments that would prove that an electron was either a wave or a particle, because based on what their intention was of proving. So it turns out electrons are both a wave and a particle. Then another physicist came along and said, wait a second, you know, everything is energy and everything has its own signature frequency. And at the time it was crazy talk, and yet this person went on to win a Nobel Prize, Louis de Broglie, who proved that everything is energy, and that every particle has its own characteristic wavelength, which is another way of saying frequency. It's the inverse of frequency. So these are two people who won Nobel Prizes proving that everything is energy and that it's your intention which gives form and shape to it. And that's what that's what healing is all about. Tapping into that universal energy and using your intention to bring healing and to flush out discordant energies from a person's energy bodies and their energy centers. And I guess there's an opportunity to talk a little bit about what energy centers are. As a human being living here on Earth, as a spiritual being living in this human existence, we have different levels of our bodies. We have the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies of increasingly higher vibration. And at the apex of our existence is that I Am Presence, that divine spark, Master Within. And the way the Master Within communicates with your mind and body is through your energy centers. And so in the Eastern schools of mysticism, you have the seven chakras, which run along the spine. And those are the transformers that take this higher energy and step it down so that the mind and body can use it. In the Western schools, we just call them energy centers. And there are 12 energy centers from the Western perspective, which correspond to the seven chakras, but which are the actual gland or organ that animates your body. In some cases, there's a one-to-one correspondence, like your throat. Your throat chakra would be the equivalent of your thyroid glands. But sometimes in the Western schools, you have more than one energy center for each corresponding chakra. Like the heart, for example, which is one of the most important glands, we all know that it sends blood out to and oxygen out to the body. But there's another energy center associated with the heart chakra, and that's the thymus glands, which sits just above the heart, underneath the breastbone, which is very instrumental in healing. And some mystic traditions talk about the crown of the heart, and what they're actually talking about is the thymus glands, which is that important glands. So there's two energy centers that correspond to the one chakra. And so when you clear out these energy centers using the power of love, that's the most efficient way of doing it, then the small, still voice within can come through these energy centers undisturbed. It's easier to hear when they're not blocked up. And that's how, that's the power of clearing out your energy centers. You get to hear the small, still voice, your own I am presence, divine aspect, divine spark can come through, and you can speak it out into the world and take your power and share it with the world when your energy centers are clear. And the other thing you want to do is clear out the energy bodies, because we know from the law of attraction, if you're feeling a certain way, you're automatically going to bring other energies of a similar vibration to you. Same thing, if you're thinking certain thoughts, you're going to bring other thoughts of that similar vibration to you. And pretty soon your emotional and mental bodies are going to be filled up with thoughts that you've been feeling and thoughts that you've been, energies that you've been feeling and thinking. And if you're polluting your emotions and mind with discordant negative thoughts, then you're going to fill up your energy bodies with these negative thoughts. So if you want to keep it pure, you know, spend your time with people that are positive and uplifting, that empower you, and think thoughts and subject yourself to people and events and places that have positive, uplifting thinking, ways of thinking. And so what I tell people is, if you want to keep your energy centers clear, you know, stop watching horror movies and stop watching the mainstream news, because you're filling your mind with thoughts of war, corruption, crime, and all that is just filling your emotional and mental bodies with discordant thoughts, which is not conducive to going to higher levels of consciousness. And the converse is, if you, say, didn't want people to experience higher levels of consciousness, the one thing you would do is fill them with these negative thoughts and try to induce as much fear in people as possible. And why is that? Because fearful people are easy to control. When you're fearful, you automatically go to your dominant hemisphere of your brain. If you're logical and left-brained, you'd be left-brained, characterized as being left-brained. And if you were a pure creative type, you'd be characterized as being a right-brained person. So what the ideal way to be is balanced, with the left and right brains in synchronization, because that's the most direct way to go to higher states of consciousness. And it's exemplified in different mystic traditions. But the important thing is, when you're in sync, then you're able to go to higher states of consciousness. But when you're in fear, whether it's artificially induced or you just bring it upon yourself, you automatically go to whatever the dominant hemisphere of your brain is. So if you're an accountant or an engineer, you're going to become more left-brained, but to the detriment of not being able to be as creative. And conversely, if you're an artist and you can't, and you're in fear, then you're not going to be able to go to the other side and be logical. It's harder. So the way to combat fear, it's that old love versus fear paradigm. You have to use the power of love to wipe away the fear, to flush your energy bodies of these fearful thoughts, and just fill yourself with positive, uplifting emotions and thoughts, so that you can transcend and go to higher states of consciousness, because that's when you are truly you and when you're doing the best service to humanity. So that's a long answer to a short question.
Good information, some good information. Good. I'm sitting here going, wow, he is really telling the truth. And, you know, let's talk about more how we can immerse ourselves in. What kind of tools can we use, you know, to shift the consciousness? I know there's a few ways that we can do, and tools that we can do to really shift our consciousness when we find ourselves in fear. So, for instance, when a bill collector comes, we don't have the money, and our body starts to feel tight.
Right.
Those are the times when we need to really shift the consciousness, because the cells have memory, right? Let's talk about this.
Right. Okay, well, we know just fundamentally that we're not merely a physical body, but physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies. So if you want to get to higher states of consciousness where everything's in flow and where you're filled with love and everything's great, then just you can break it down into every aspect. So let's look at the physical body. Don't pollute your physical body with negative things. Don't eat polluted foods. Don't eat GMO foods that are genetically modified organisms in them that are going to knock down your vibration. Don't eat junk food. Don't, you have to drink moderately. I drink wine and beer, so I can't crack down on that and be a teetotaler. But don't do anything that's going to pollute your body, because that's the temple of the soul. You know, that's what the meaning is. You want to, if that's the temple of the soul, you want to be pure so that your higher self can come through. Same thing with the emotional body. Everyone has that friend that all they do is complain. And it may be that because you grew up with them, you feel obligated to keep spending time with them. Well, sometimes you just got to say enough is enough. If you're going to keep complaining, I don't want to hang around with you. You know, if you're my brother or sister, yes, my family obligations, I have to stay with you. But that doesn't mean that you have to keep listening to and polluting your emotional body with this negative thoughts, complaints. Because what is a complaint? Every single thing you say is a prayer. You're invoking the universe by trying to, the universe is trying to make it so. So if you're complaining that, oh, I don't have any money, or I can't get ahead, or whatever negative limiting complaint you have, you're just telling the universe, bring me more of this. So that's another secret. Don't fill, by your own activity, fill your emotional and mental bodies with this polluted energy. Don't hang around with negative people, and don't you complain. Because by complaining, you're both on the emotional level, you're feeling that complaining negative energy, and you're sending out to the universe saying, give me more of that. And the same thing just by your pronouncement. You're saying, the world is bad in some way, and so the universe is going to conspire to make that thing happen and come true. So don't. Keep saying positive things. Feel as positive as you can. And that means hanging around with fun people, uplifting, empowering people, and filling your mental bodies with powerful, positive thoughts. If you listen to music, listen to uplifting music that's going to make you feel good. That's what it is. Don't fill your mind with complaints, because that's a recipe for disaster.
That's so true. That's so true. But there's also, so if we're in a, there's days that we don't have to do nothing with people, things. You just wake up in your energy. What can we do then? What should we do to shift our energy when you wake up and you find yourself in an energetic space that's not the highest or the best for you?
Right. Okay. Well, sometimes just moving helps. When you're moving, the blood starts flowing. You're circulating the lymph fluids. You're getting rid of those toxins that your body has accumulated just from living here on Earth. That can be very powerful. And the other thing that happens when you're walking or swimming or doing something like that, by doing that, you're actually synchronizing the two hemispheres of your brain. So again, you're making it more conducive to going to higher states of consciousness. And what I do that's most effective is whenever I'm feeling out of sorts, especially the key to me is if I feel angry at something. Because what is anger? Anger is when your expectation doesn't match reality. You're expecting something to happen, and the reality is it's not happening. You're expecting this person in the store to give you good service, and it's not happening. So the solution to that is to accept the reality that this person is just not the right person to help you, so go find someone else. Or, you may have to rationalize it. Well, maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. But the point is, you accept the reality of the situation. But in my case, when I recognize that I'm feeling angry at something, I first look, okay, first accept the reality of the situation. And that's a warning sign, or that's a signal to me that you're not in the flow. You're not totally in sync. And so then I'll meditate, or in my case, I'll immediately open up the portal and send myself the higher vibrational energies to flush those discordant thoughts from my being. And when I pull those away, then once again I get back in the flow, and the anger disappears, and the world becomes a better place, just because I'm not attracting any more of that anger and negative energy into my life. So that's one of the things I do, and that's something that everyone can do. We mentioned this when I was on 2 weeks ago, But here's a simple exercise that everyone can do. That is, if it's you or someone you know is having trouble, they're having some kind of dis-ease, whether it's a formal disease or they're just not comfortable, they woke up on the wrong side of bed, just visualize them right in front of you, a little 6-inch version of them. And everyone knows how to make a snowball. Well, you just make a snowball, but this time you make the snowball out of love. And I reach my hands out to my side and I pack a snowball full of love into the person that you have visualized right in front of you. And just, I use the mantra, absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love. I'm bringing that agape, unconditional love, into the person. And by packing it into the person, I'm using my intention to fill that person with love. And that can be you, it can be your grandmother who lives, you know, across the country, it can be your friend who lives in Hong Kong. It doesn't matter where they are, because this energy transcends time and space. And by filling them with that absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love, you're going to change their energy. And it could be your energy you want to change. And then one other wrinkle that I recommend is when you fill them with love, take your hands, I usually use my left hand, and visualize it as if it's a net. And just run it through the person right in front of you, as if you're scooping out anything negative out of them. And that'll pull some of the negative discordant energies out of them, and they'll be better off for it. And again, you can do it to yourself. So that's similar to what I do to myself. If I feel myself getting angrier or out of sorts, I just, in my case, I open up the portal, fill myself with love, and then take my hand to scoop out anything negative. And that's a very, very powerful tool. It's very, very simple, but it's profoundly powerful.
Were you planning on doing any activations, or what was your plan for today in terms of?
We can do a short version of the total love immersion, just like I was talking about before. We can. I'll guide it just a couple minutes, so everyone can feel what it's like to tap into the love that surrounds everyone, each and every one of us here on Earth. So if you're ready to do that,
you want me to play, or you gonna how you want to?
If you want to play, we can. That's 12 minutes, or we can just do a shorter version where I guide people through the beginning of it.
That's up to you. Whatever you want to do, I'm open.
Right. Well, let's do the short version in case people have questions or they want to make comments.
Okay, everyone.
So just if you're driving, you know, pull over or don't focus too much on this. Obviously, you're not going to close your eyes. But close your eyes and just breathe at your own natural rhythm. And as you breathe in, you'll recognize you're breathing in the oxygen from the atmosphere. And as you're breathing out the carbon dioxide and waste products that your body doesn't need. But as you keep breathing, recognize also that besides the oxygen that you're breathing in, you're also breathing in the energy that surrounds you. And just use your intention to make sure that this energy that you're breathing in is love. Absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love. And everyone listening to my voice, I'm also going to augment that feeling of love by opening up a portal and sending love to everyone on our call who's listening, so it's easier for them to tune into this love. Eventually, you can do it with or without my help, but right now we'll just make it more palpable. So as you breathe in, you're breathing in this higher vibrational aspects of love, and it's going into your heart, directly into your heart. And now the heart is transferring some of that love into your lungs. And your lungs, well, your lung is breathing into your lungs. And now it's going into your heart. This oxygenated blood, which is now filled with love, is going into your heart. And it's being pumped to every cell in your body. So every cell of your body is being bathed in this absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love. And every exhale, you're exhaling anything that is not of the love. That's any stress, fears, worries, anger is just being expelled. And as you continue breathing, you may have a little revelation that you are a majestic spiritual being. You are not merely a physical body. And you are not merely your emotions. You are not your emotions. You may feel angry. You may feel happy. But you are not the actual emotion. That's just one aspect of you. Similarly with your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. Because after all, who is thinking these thoughts? There has to be someone who's thinking or deciding what you want to be doing. And who is that? That is your I Am presence. That is the apex of your existence. That is a single point of awareness in the oneness, which is everything. There's nothing beyond the oneness. And you are a single point of awareness in that oneness. So from one perspective, you are just pure consciousness. That's what's animating your entire being. Your physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies are being animated by this pure consciousness. So in one sense, you as an entity do not even exist. There's only the one pure consciousness which is animating all of us. From a different perspective, we are all that I Am presence, and we are the everything. So as we bask in this love, I'll share one of my favorite quotes from an Indian sage, Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he wrote, "When you realize you are nothing, that is the beginning of wisdom. When you realize you are everything, that is the beginning of love. And between the two, life evolves." And that's what he's saying there. When you realize you are nothing, that you are pure consciousness, there is no I, there is no individual person. We're all the same. When you realize you are everything, then you're identifying with that I Am presence, that single point of awareness in the oneness, which animates your life. And so going between, you are the nothing and you are the everything, that's where we are here. We're in that middle state, in between nothing and everything. And that's how, from a very Jnani Yoga perspective, we are the middle, between the microcosm and the macrocosm, we are that middle ground that in which life happens. So I think that's enough energy for today. So when everyone is ready, you can just gradually open your eyes and recognize you're filled with absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love. And any stress, fear, or anger you used to have is now gone. And you can share this infinite love with the rest of the universe, this agape, this unconditional love. And by doing that, you'll attract even more wonderful things into your life. And you'll be ready for anything the universe may send your way. So how's that, Janine and James? Feeling a little more energized and centered and balanced?
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much. We're going to open up the lines. Let's see if anybody want to come in and say anything. You just star six, and if you're on a radio, blog talk radio, just push the number one, and our lovely host will let you in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Janine. Good morning, James. Thank you for bringing this amazing being to this program. Ed, I couldn't resonate more with everything that you explained, and if I am allowed, I would like to bring some brief comments and a question for you.
Sure.
As you were explaining what we're made of, I was thinking about how Socrates, the philosopher, already brought that 5 centuries before Jesus, that the
right.
universe and us being part of it, we are made out of energy. Now, how interesting it is that Newton in the 17th century said that we are made out of matter, which is something that you brought a fantastic point, saying that quantum physics has already revealed that when they study the human atoms in our body, we are waves. They are made out of waves of energy, which is light. Now, as we are light, any thought, any word, any emotion, any action that does not resonate with what we are or that does not empower the light that we are, that is producing, and you brought another very important point, a non-coherent response. Now, my question is, can you elaborate for people to understand what is it that produces in our bodies and on a planetary level the attitude of the allowing of a continuous non-coherent response?
Okay. That's where your will comes in, your intention. And everyone has that power. That's your own, that's what makes you unique. You have the ability to tap into this infinite universe of possibility and decide where to focus your attention. And where you focus your attention is where you're going to get results. So you have the power to think dissonant thoughts and negative thoughts if you choose. You also have the power to choose positive thoughts and uplifting and coherent thoughts. And you can think of it as almost like a musical composition. The music that you're soothing, there's many different notes, and they're all coherent. They all blend together to produce melodies, and I'm not a musician, but they produce things that are coherent and positive and uplifting. And if you have music or just noise, like of a power saw, you know, that's just jarring to the senses because it's not beautifully coherent, and they're not all in sync. So that's the difference. You, as a energy being, have the power to use your intention to either choose coherent and positive uplifting thoughts or discordant thoughts. And that's who you are. And who the you is not the little I, the little ego, but your highest self, the I Am Presence, which if you're listening carefully, that's going to direct all your actions. And it doesn't happen overnight. And we're all in a state of progress. We're moving up to embody more and more of that I Am Presence, you know, every day, every waking moment. But when the masters that have walked the earth, they're taking direction from their own higher self, their own divine spark, and so they are in this world but not of it. They're living in this physical world, but they're not of it in that they're not taking direction from the noise of the 3D world. They're taking direction from the higher worlds, and they're bringing it down to earth and sharing it with the universe. So everyone has the same choice to do things that are uplifting and positive and in line with their I Am Presence, or negatively. And that's why people always talk about the earth as a learning, as a classroom, a big schoolroom, because we have the choice, and this is what we're learning. Use your thoughts and feelings to bring about positive things in your life and positive things for all of humanity, because that's better for you in the long run. And the best thing you can do is get control of your thoughts and emotions so that you use your will to make the world a better place. So it's a long answer to a short question by you, Eva. I hope that answered it.
That was wonderful. So every time that we are having a negative thought and a negative feeling, because that's not in coherence with what we are, then we are polluting the light that we're made of, and we're polluting the light of the family of humanity, right?
Right, exactly. That's your choice, but, you know, if everyone was doing positive things, there'd be nothing to be angry about.
Exactly.
And everyone would be different, but singing a different note in the big symphony that is the universe. And there'd be diversity and joy and newness of having different ways of looking at the same beautiful universe. So that's what we want to aim for. If we hold on to that vision, we'll our thoughts and emotions and that will match, and we'll help it to precipitate here on earth.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you for your contribution to the planet and the light. Thank you.
Thank you, Eva.
Any more questions, comments, or concerns? Quiet today. You got to relax.
Right. Well, that's what happens. It's, you know, when I was a student, one of my professors that I respected so much, he didn't make everyone answer questions or talk in class. He said, "Hey, some people don't like talking, and so I don't like to make them talk." And it was an English class, and you know, the primary function is to learn how to write. But so writers typically are not outgoing, verbose people, although it obviously varies with each person. But I respected the fact that he goes, some people like talking, some people don't. So I'm not going to make them. But in fact, I was mentioning this to James earlier today, or yesterday, actually. You know, nothing happened earlier today other than sleeping. But I said, he said, why don't you ask you know, some of the people that got clearings from you in between the last 2 weeks to talk on the show? And I said, well, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. But again, I don't want to force people to do it. If they want to contribute, then yes, that'd be great. They can describe what happened in their clearings. And he said, well, who's someone that did that? And I said, well, you know, Esther was one of the people, but I wouldn't ask her to come on. You know, what if she's shy? And James said, Ed, Esther is not shy.
All right. So I think they're calling you out, Chant Goddess. I think they're calling you out. So,
good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. It's already been quite an interesting morning, and I'm so thankful the way that all unfolds itself. But yes, absolutely. I had a clearing with Ed, and it was amazing. It was quite amazing. I felt as if I went somewhere else during the time. The time span was, it just came and it went. You know, it was like a flash. And I felt as if Ed held me by the hand and took me many different places. And when we got back, I was so much lighter, you know, in all ways, really. It was a total clearing, mentally, physically, and emotionally. I felt quite lighter. So it was a great experience. I appreciate it, Ed. And the recordings, the MP3s that you lended were wonderful as well. So I'm grateful for having the opportunity. And I look forward to, you know, continue to use the MP3s and, you know, continue to experience the results from the experience. Absolutely.
That's awesome. Yes, that's one of the things, the Energy Center Clearing MP3 that comes along with your clearing when you get one is filled with the same higher octaves of love that I was trying to share with people when we did our brief meditation. And that's the thing that empowers you, that clears out your energy centers, flushes your energy bodies, and raises your vibration. Because as you raise your vibration, you get closer and closer to your own individual I Am presence, and you become more you. So that's exactly what we do. And if you continue using it, just like when I would go visit my energy mentor, he'd pump my energy up. It would slowly come down over the next few days, then he'd pump it up, then slowly come down. But over time, it was ratcheting upwards. The same thing happens when you listen to that MP3. The Energy Center Clearing MP3 pumps you up, and then over the next day or two, your energy will come down a little bit. Then you use it again, it'll pump you up. And again, your energy will be ratcheting upwards over time, and you'll hold on to more and more of this higher vibrational energy, and you'll become more you, become more powerful, more spiritually aware, and better able to tap into your own inner intuition and resources to do whatever you do. You'll just be better at it. So I encourage anyone. And you can also, if you want to get a little audio book called Escaping the Matrix, which is a metaphor for the mystic path of enlightenment, then just go. You can go to my website, energycenterclearing.com, and you'll see where you can download the free Escaping the Matrix audio book, which gives you different lessons on how to overcome stress, fear, anger, connect more deeply to your own inner master, take back your power, and be yourself, ultimately to escape the matrix. In other words, you're in this world, but not of it, like all the mystic masters that came before us. that's our goal here on Earth. So,
quick question for you, Ed. Thank you for that. When you mentioned coming down, is that an experience of deeper sleep? Is it? Because I feel that after I do listen to that CD, I have some really great mornings, you know, or nights of deep sleeping. Is that
right?
What you, okay, yeah.
Right. What happens also is after you get your energy all pumped up, on the one hand, you're totally energized because you got this higher vibrational energy running all through you.
Mm-hmm.
But because your body and your being is not used to it, the body's trying to integrate it and make it become the normal state of being. So you may feel a little sleepy initially,
mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it's very relaxing, but in an empowering way. But as you get more and more used to this higher vibrational energy, then that's going to become your standard, your normal state of being, and that's what you're going to bring out into the universe and share with the world. So,
wonderful.
You know, use it regularly. That's the key. Don't just use it once and think everything's done. Just like you take a shower, it's good to take a shower daily. You can't just take one shower and be done for the rest of your life. But if you use it regularly, you're going to stay spiritually clean and keep elevating your vibration.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. We got a question on Blog Talk Radio. You want to open up the mic? It's area code 727. Last four digits is 7278. Blog Talk Radio, you want to come in? Good morning. Tell us your name and where you're from.
This is Kate. I'm calling from Florida.
Good morning, Kate. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for sharing light and joy and peace.
My pleasure. Where are you from in Florida, Kate?
St. Pete.
Okay. I lived a little north of Tampa for a short while, but I spent quite a bit of time on southeast Florida in the Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton area. So, yeah, I have a warm place, literally and figuratively, in my being for Florida.
Where were you north of Tampa Bay?
For a short while, I was living at my mom's house in Spring Hill, Florida.
Oh,
yeah. It's not up there with New York and the other big cities. It's a little kind of suburban, rural area.
I know it. Well,
it was a very quiet place.
Swimming with the manatees.
Right, the manatees. Crystal River. I went swimming with the manatees. I used to be a big scuba diver and snorkeler. Manatees are known as sea cows. So anyway, they're nice, beautiful, peaceful beings as well. Very meditative to go swimming with the manatees.
All right. Kate, did you have a question?
Yes. Two questions. The website,
okay.
If you would repeat that, please, for me.
Okay. It's energycenterclearing.com.
Okay.
The free book is Escaping the Matrix. Yes. Go ahead.
When we focus and place our attention, what comes to my mind is the scriptures that refer to principalities and the struggle between the principalities and the duality, the dark and the light, the fear and the love. And the leader, if we will, of the of fear and darkness being referred to as the distractor.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, how do we come to peace, if you will, with the distractor to remain in focus with our peace,
right,
our love, our light?
Right. Okay. Well, everyone knows in this 3D world, we live in a world of duality. There's positive and negative. There's things that bring you closer to God, and there's things that distract you, as Kate just said. So the secret is using your intention to choose things that are positive. And here's the motivation for you to embrace love as the way to get there. Whenever you have one of these battles, on the physical world we have physical battles, political battles, legal battles. On the higher worlds we have spiritual battles. The battle for your mind, in a sense, is a higher level battle. And right. Whenever you have these distractors or negative people or entities, whatever they are, fighting you or trying to keep you distracted or away from the higher vibrations, understand that love and higher octaves of love is what's taking you up the food chain, raising your vibration. And in these battles, these spiritual battles, the one who wins, the one who predominates, is the one who can go to the higher level of being, who has the higher vibration. So by embracing love and doing these kind of meditations where you fill yourself with absolute, unconditional, infinite, divine love and keep moving up, you're going to be more and more powerful, and you're going to be able to overcome any of these distractors more and more easily. So that's just the motivation. Why should you fill yourself with love? Why should you do this? Because you're going to be more powerful, and that's the ultimate secret. That's why they say love is the most powerful force in the universe. It's because that's how you vanquish evil, you know, whatever name you want to give it, the distractor, Satan, all the negativity can be overcome. And the analogy I would say is, you know, love represents the light and the distractor represents the darkness or ignorance. And what happens if you take a room that's filled with darkness and another room that's filled with light, and you open the door between the two? None of the darkness ever gets into the light. The light fills the room of darkness. So that's what you want to be. You want to be that room filled with light, with love and light. And as you move up and become more and more powerful, you'll be able to overcome more and more dark things and share your light with the rest of humanity and help them and be an example to them as to how to shed light in their own lives and make their own lives better. So, yeah, so we don't have to worry about the distractor. The distractor has to worry about us when we're filled with love and light. And that's what we want to all aim for.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Thank you for calling in, Kay. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Blessings.
Did you get both of your questions answered?
I did. If either of you have anything additional that you're picking up or any other insights, I am certainly welcome and open.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead. All right. Are you picking up anything?
I was going to say, I don't know if she was asking for either you or James to make a comment.
She's talking about today. So, she wants to know if you were picking up anything that, you know, that you wanted to share in an insight.
No, I think I covered it. I mean, that's, you know, love is the answer. That's the, and by going to higher levels of consciousness, you're going to be a better warrior for the light, a better mystic warrior, which is, the name of my first book, Mystic Warrior, where the entrepreneur has to develop these spiritual powers to first survive and then save the world from a nuclear bomb threat. And he is unaware of this whole world that it exists. And his mentor leads him on a quest to develop his own spiritual power, and he does a lot of good things to help the world as he develops these powers. So that's if you go to my same website, energycenterclearing.com, you'll see on one of the menu items is books, and Mystic Warrior is the book that you can look at that as well. It's available on Amazon, Kindle, audio books, paperback books, you know, all different formats. So,
all right. So I just want to interject, Kate. I just want to remind you that keep loving you every day, each morning. Just add a little love to your spiritual practice by honoring your presence, giving thanks for the presence of you, because you are a gift to the planet, and reminding yourself that you are here for a higher purpose and that you are here to return to love and be that love. And just remember that. Just give thanks for your body, for your mind, for your heart, and how you show up in the planet.
And so as you give out love into your people and your world and your family and your friends, just remember to put you on a to-do list. That's what I felt led to say to you. Remember to honor you and put you on your to-do list. Go ahead, Jane. And then we're going to call you in. Thank you for calling in.
Yes, I'm picking up that it would be marvelous for her to have a one-on-one session with Ed.
Okay. All right. Well, what we'll do is we'll make sure she gets Ed's number before the call is over, and she can get a one-on-one session with Ed.
Wonderful.
I have another question. Okay, well, we're going to call Linda in, and then we're going to let you have, because Linda hasn't been in all week, and we haven't got a chance to do our affirmation, and then Ava, we'll call you in after, so Linda can get to work. Go ahead, Linda, we're going to call you in. Come on, Linda, I know you've been like, I ain't been able to do my affirmations all week, but you
girl,
are.
Girl, I've been doing my affirmations. I hope y'all been doing y'all
with,
affirmations.
No, I'm talking about with the family, with the family.
That's what I'm talking about. I hope even though we haven't been doing it on the line, just know that you can do these affirmations all day, throughout the day, when you're driving, when you're taking a shower, before you go to bed, when you wake up in the morning. You really want to incorporate this in your day and have it become a part of your life. It's a beautiful affirmation that promotes wealth and attracts our vibration of prosperity. So let's do it, y'all. It's posted on the Love Journey, Inc. Facebook page under our current closing affirmation. Lady Love posted it there. And we're going to affirm it together 7 times together as a family. So Star, fix your phones. Ed, let's hear you join in once you get the rhythm of it. Follow along with us and just allow ourselves to shift our vibrations together. Let's do it. On three. One, two, three. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything.
Yes. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything.
Yes. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything.
God's wealth is circulating in my life.
His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything.
Yes. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything.
Yes, one more time, y'all. God's wealth is circulating in my life. His wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance. All of my needs, desires, and goals are met instantaneously by infinite intelligence. For I am one with God, and God is everything. Yes, yes. Thank you, God. I can feel the shift in my energy just from affirming what I know to be true. Thank you, family. Thank you, Father. Back to you, Lady Love. Namaste. One love.
Thank you, Linda. So maybe I need to put that onus on myself. Maybe it was just me missing us doing it together. That was me. So I apologize because I missed us doing it together. Yes, she's absolutely right. You can do it in the morning, the night, the afternoon, but I miss us doing it together. So that was me, and so I should have said I miss us doing it together. I really appreciate hearing you this morning. It was beautiful to hear you. Thank you so much, and I want to remind you this. I love you too, sis. And I just want to remind you, this was an affirmation that Tony Robbins did. It took him from $30,000 a year to $1 million in 1 year. So
very
you got to
powerful.
You got to be this affirmation. You can't just speak it. You got to let it, these incantations be in every cell in your body and your heart. Because remember, it's not just what we think and speak. It's what we allow to get in our heart. Because what Reverend I say, it's the feelings that get the blessing. And it's the blessings that come from our heart, because in our heart is where we manifest. So let these manifestations of your affirmations come in your heart so you can be the demonstration of the good that you know you can be. Come on, y'all. Y'all can do it. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to you, beautiful Ed. Thank you, Linda. Remember Linda's coach, Linda, and you can go to her website by Dynamic Revelations, LLC, and find all the wonderful things she do in oils, curves, and herbs. And, yes, you can check her out on her website and her Facebook page and all the things that she do. Thank you, Coach Linda. All right, Ed, I'm giving it back to you.
Okay, that was beautiful. Affirmations. Affirmations are an extremely powerful way of sending out your message to the universe. And one suggestion I make is if you do your affirmations when you're in a sort of meditative state, speaking them out loud is even better, but when you're in a meditative state, you're moving up your vibration up, you're getting closer to your I Am presence, and so you're making these affirmations even more powerful when you send them out to the universe. So just another way to take Linda's beautiful affirmations that she borrowed from Tony Robbins and making them even more powerful for everyone on our call. So that's great. When you do them together with a family, that's even better as well.
Yes, because it's the consciousness. It's the consciousness of one. Many consciousness bring more power. You know, when we think about, remember Joshua going around and he had the soldiers, and God had told Joshua to send his soldiers around the wall, and Joshua was thinking, why would God want them to do that? And they had to sing this song seven times, and at the end of the seven times, the wall came tumbling down. It was the vibrations of all the people, all the soldiers coming together that broke the energy of the wall and tore the wall down. And that's the same thing we're doing when we say our affirmations together. We're breaking out all those things that may be in our way to move toward the better good that we desire.
Perfect.
All right, so I'm going to give it back to you. I know Ava wants to get her a question in, and we got about 44 minutes left on our Blog Talk Radio, so if we had any more Blog Talk Radio who want to come in, you just press 1, and come on in, Ava.
Yeah, thank you, Yanine. My question. Yes, my question is, from my teacher in a mystery school, I got this concept that while we are on Earth, there is such a thing as called intelligent love. Ed, have you heard of this concept? And if so, could you elaborate a little bit on it?
Sure. Okay. Well, one of the people that touches upon this is the Ra group, which is a higher dimensional group intelligence. They were with the Egyptians centuries ago, and they've been channeled recently by Carla Ruckert, the Ra material or the Law of One that teaches this kind of material. And they talk about the whole process of spiritual evolution, where people go, or not people, but where consciousness goes from mineral to plant, animal, to human, and goes up, moves up the food chain from first density, second density, third density, and what humans are doing right now, we're moving from third density to fourth density. And that's exhibited by the human chakra system, where we move from the third chakra, the chakra of self-power and individuated power, to the fourth chakra, which is the heart, which is love. Now, love, and so that's where so many teachings now are to embody love, altruism, unconditional love, the brotherhood of man, all those things are teaching humanity to move their primary focus from three up to the fourth density level. Now, beyond fourth density, there are higher octaves of consciousness. The fifth density, according to the raw material, which matches the mystic teachings that I'm familiar with, is wisdom. So you go from the fourth love to the fifth wisdom. And then after the fifth wisdom, you go to the sixth, which they call love light, which is the combination of love and wisdom together. That would be the Christ consciousness. And above, beyond that, is a higher octave of consciousness that even the raw group doesn't know where that leads to. So intelligent love would be taking the concept of love and mixing it with the higher vibrational concept of wisdom. And an example of that would be, first people have to learn how to love, you know, and give and share love freely. So that's why people focus on that. But we know that sometimes even love, too much, it's hard to say too much love is a bad thing, but love that's not tempered by the intelligence of wisdom can be a bad thing. And the example I would give is, say a couple, the husband is out drinking and on a bender, and he can't show up to work and provide for his family because he's drunk. Now the wife wants, who loves her husband and loves her family, wants to do good things. If she's making excuses for the husband, oh well, he got sick. Oh well, no, everything's fine. And then she's calling the boss and then doing all these things. She's trying to act out of love, but in reality, she's not helping the husband to address the fundamental problem, is that he's got to get his act together and stop drinking when he's got other responsibilities. So that's where the intelligence comes in. Or a drug user that is you can't just unconditionally, you want to unconditionally love the person, but you also need to temper it with the intelligence to get them to seek help and to get back on track so they become a better person. Their own self becomes where they start embodying their own higher self. So there's where the intelligence of love can temper that. And it's not pure just giving and loving the person even when they're screwing up, but it's taking the intelligence and trying to help them to get back on track. So that's what I would
Then to me, then we're defining love wrong, because love says that I will be honest, authentic enough to you, because intelligence makes it think, means that you got to bring your head into it. Love says, if my husband is drinking too much and he's not doing what he's doing, love says, you know what? I have to honor me and my children, and I have to let him know, and we got to get this straight. Love doesn't say to you, God, if God is love, God doesn't say to us, you know, if we're doing things and all this, God allows us to do what we need to do, and then we have to suffer the consequences of our own choices. And that's what love happens to do. So when we start thinking about love and defining love like that, then we take love out of what love is. Love is a vibration, and anything other than the truth is not in love vibration. So if I'm lying and making a consideration for what is not true, that's not love. So then we're going back to defining love as human again, and that's not love.
Thank you, Ed. I just wanted to say that that resonates so much with my truth. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that was
perfect.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So, Ed, I want to know what you think about that. I mean, because what you just, because that's just like a whole oxymoron than what you described love as earlier. So, that's kind of confusing to me now in your thought process, because now we're making love human when you add intelligent love. That's not really what love is. And that's not how, if we operate and say God's love, then that can't be love right there, what you just described.
Right. Well, okay, we have to distinguish what that intelligence is. The intelligence that most people think of is the little mind, the intellectual mind, which kind of lives in the third chakra. That's the I am, I want to be powerful, I want what I want, I want to make my mark in the world, and things that are the ego-based, and not in a bad sense. Ego is a valuable thing to live and survive here on Earth. But that's the small ego, that's the small intelligence. The higher intelligence is our higher minds, our higher mental bodies. And so that is still altruistic and is still helping, trying to raise humanity up to a higher level. It's not necessarily small ego-based about I, me, but to make a coherent, again, it's all still dealing with everything being coherent and creating a world where you're in the flow and synchronicities and everyone benefits. And so it's still love, but it's love tempered with the intelligence of divine wisdom, not merely the intellect. You know, we, as human beings, we are gifted with the ability to think and act using our conscious mind, but that's not the highest intelligence. The highest intelligence comes from our I Am presence and shows up to us in the form of intuition and insights and flashes of brilliance. That's what you want to tap into, and that's what that those insights and intuitions are what you want to temper your love to shape it and bring it to its highest and greatest fruition. Not the little lower, you're correct, Janine, that it's not the lower ego-based intellect which we want to temper the love. That has to, that wants to move up to the fourth chakra, and first we have to embody love, but then when we go beyond it, there are higher levels of intelligence that we want to help shape our existence.
I just want to, you know, because what happens is we keep giving love a whole bad definition. Love, you know, love doesn't dishonor me. Love doesn't dishonor what is truth. Love doesn't dishonor, you know, if we equate even God with love, then God would never want us to be inauthentic, never want us to not be truthful, even if the truth has to bring you something that you don't appreciate. But so, for instance, you know, like you gave the example of the husband, then the truth is, look, husband, we're going to have to do something different. Not, I'm not going to lie for you. I'm not going to keep love. I love you enough to know, to let you know that the truth is you're going to have to do something or we can no longer move in this direction and we're going to have to separate if that's what it needs to come to. But that's what love does. Love doesn't coddle. Love doesn't pacify. Love gives you the truth in a loving way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's an example of a friend of mine. He's a world-class trainer, mostly in the corporate world, but he teaches people how to develop different skills which they can use to improve their own careers in that. Well, you can imagine this fellow who's a world-class trainer. He had a son who was an alcoholic, and he's trying his best to try to teach this son to do what's best for himself and his career and the family and everything else, and the son just went off drinking, and finally he had to use that kind of tough love, said, look, you know, son, I love you, but you can't talk to your mother like that. You can't do this. If you want to live in this house, you got to stop drinking or, you know, you're gone. And so he basically had to throw his son out of his house. You know, he was 20 years old or so, so he wasn't a kid. But he had the hardest thing in the world for him to do was throw his son, who he loved, out of the house because he wasn't doing himself or he's dishonoring himself and the entire family. So years later, the son finally came around and realized, yep, his dad was right. And they've subsequently reconciled, and the son stopped drinking, and he's had very productive careers, and he's doing things, and his father gives him the best advice he can now, and the son actually listens to him. But can you imagine how painful it would be for someone who loves their family and having to do that for their son? You know, how hurtful it was that he's helped so many people's lives and changed their lives, and he can't do it for his own family member. But that's an example of intelligent love where he knew it was for the highest and best good for his son to give him, you know, the wisdom of that what he was doing was screwing up and he had to change. And so I use that as a good example of intelligent love.
What a beautiful example. Thank you.
And that's the same thing I agree. That's love. Love is when you operate in truth. You know, and sometimes we have to allow people to unfold in the best and highest good for all concerned, even if it's not what we think. Sometimes our children, like the prodigal son, has to go out there, and we got to love them enough to allow them to unfold in a way that's best for them, even if it's not in our house and even if we got to put them out. Now, that's love. Think about how our Creator loves us. Our Creator loves us so much, it doesn't force a choice on us. You know what the universe says, do what you need to do for your best and highest good. And guess what? The choice you're going to make, even when you go, you got to come back, and I still take your mess and make a message out of that mess that you created on yourself because of the choice you made for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
in his case, he never stopped loving his son. but the intelligence that what was best for the son and his family was he could no longer live in his own house. So, you know, just like Jesus said, the sun shines on saints and sinners alike. Yes, that's true, but it doesn't mean you put up with abuse or things like that. And, and one thing we should say about love as well, you know, there's also self-love, which isn't, the Greeks don't talk about that per se, but you have to honor yourself as well. If you're in a relationship where your spouse or someone is abusing you or taking advantage of you, then you have to love yourself just as much as you love them. And just making excuses for, yes, well, he hit me, but, you know, I know he didn't mean to. I'm sure he still loves me. Well, that's not good enough. You know, you have to love yourself just as much as you love everyone else and say, this is enough. You know, we're not putting up with that. That's just not right. That's not the way of a truly loving person. You have to either stop or, you know, we're through. I'm going to get a divorce, and I'm taking the children with me, or whatever the situation has to be. But you should love yourself and honor yourself just as much as you honor the other people in your life.
Can I like to comment on that, Lady Love, if that's okay? This is Linda.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I personally am going through an experience with my daughter. She's 20, she'll be 21 in December, and I'm having to exhibit intelligent love with her because as she's getting older, what I'm noticing about her is she's feeling herself more as a young adult, and she's not making time in our home for cleaning or, you know, just respecting the energy in the home and, you know, following boundaries. And, you know, I find it interesting that this conversation is taking place this morning because I've been experiencing this directly with her and struggling with the decision on whether I need to give her an ultimatum to start looking for a different place to live. She's a full-time college student, and her primary focus right now is going to school. So, you know, her expenses need to stay low, and her being at home with me helps her to do that. However, that, you know, I have boundaries and I have rules. She has a curfew. She has to be in the house by a certain amount of time. As a young lady, I don't expect for her to be out in the streets after a certain hour, and also making sure that she's cleaning the home and keeping her space in an orderly manner. And she and I have been really having some challenges going back and forth regarding that and getting her to stand in integrity in my home. So, you know, I'm just grateful that you're sharing with me this information. It feels like I'm in alignment exactly where I need to be and what I'm thinking, that I need to definitely be a lot stronger when it comes to giving her, you know, some type of boundary. If she's not going to follow the rules, she's going to have to find another place to live, school or no school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boundaries are good. You know, within the framework of these boundaries, love can pour in and be shared and all those good things. But as long as the boundaries are known and they're not arbitrary, like this week this is the boundary, next week it's different, that's not necessarily good. But if it's a solid, this is the way things are, these are the whatever five rules we need to live by, and if you agree, then great, and if not, then find somewhere else to live.
Yeah, I'm pretty consistent with my boundaries. You know, her argument is that she doesn't have time. She's focused on school and she's working part-time, and I just don't have time, Mom. And I'm like, you're going to have to make time. Got to get up a half an hour earlier. And, you know, mm-hmm. So I just really, you know, I'm very grateful for this conversation because it makes me feel better about being firm with her.
Right. Just cleaning sometimes can be a meditative activity where you're actually contemplating your studies. You need to write a novel, or not a novel, but rewrite a story for your English class. So while you're thinking of it, you're cleaning the dishes or putting your clothes away or whatever you're supposed to be doing to contribute to the household. And at the same time, you can be working on your schoolwork. You don't have to be actually sitting at the piece of paper writing. You can be thinking.
Yeah, it's all connected. It's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
She's decluttering her room, and her room is clean. You know, she has a clean mind for her studies and, you know, for her job, clear thoughts going into work. So it's all connected. Yeah, thank you.
And that's also a good point you just bring up. A clean mind is a clean is a clean environment leads to a clean mind. That's that Asian principle, feng shui, where your surroundings affect your own being. And if you're in a cluttered room with all sorts of knickknacks and junk piled up everywhere, just think of what your mind's going to be like. It's going to be all junked up and cluttered with everything. But if it's clean, which is, contributes to the benefit of the household, then your mind is going to be clean. It's going to help you with your studies as well.
So you're saying it's just her room she's not cleaning up?
Her room is fairly tidy. It could be a little tidier. It's the other areas, like the kitchen and her bathroom. And, you know, for me, I just can't. The energy has to be flowing, cleanliness through the whole house. It can be a part here and a part there. So, so it's like her bathroom and common areas that she's just not contributing to tidiness. And it's a reflection of what's going on. She's got a lot going on, and she's overwhelmed. And so
right.
I know that's how it's showing up. And so with me having a conversation with her about it, you know, her response was she doesn't have time. And so, you know, my response was you're going to have to make time, because that time is important. It's important to our home and where we live. This is our sacred space, and we have to keep it. This is where we come for comfort and for joy. We have to keep it clean. And the energy has to be good here for us as a family. So she's already shifted. You know, we had the conversation last week, and I've already seen a shift in her behavior. But my concern is consistency. Don't do it this week and then not do it next week. So I find myself having to stay on top of her for consistency.
Well, you know, I think a thing that you might want to do is maybe give her some self-care tools. Take her out, maybe take her get a massage, and start teaching her how to release the energy of overwhelmness, how to release the energy of feeling like, and then start, you know, compartmentalizing the things that she needs to do that's important. And I think this is a learning opportunity. She's not disrespectful. She's not, you know, so I don't even know if this kind of, you know, I just think that she probably needs to have a conversation with her mom in terms of, you know, just teaching her right now. Because when you're young and you're trying to figure out this process, it's not easy if you don't know, you know what I'm saying? So you got the tools. Teach her how to do some self-love and remind her that her environment is a reflection of how she's loving herself. And so right now you're showing me that you're not loving you, so I'm going to take you out. Maybe we'll go have a girl's day and do a massage and tell her the importance of keeping the air. And then the other part is the other areas. Now, her own space is different, but the other areas is part of her rent, her part of paying the rent for staying in your home for free. You know, cooking the dishes, washing, doing that. So that's something that maybe you should take her out and then have a girl's day out and just have some time and see what's really on her mind, why she feels so overwhelmed, what's really going on in her thought process.
That's an excellent idea, Lady Love. You know, one of the things that Ed mentioned earlier I could relate to is sometimes you have the tools in your family, and as a parent, you know, we do the best I can. We do the best that we can to be a good example. And even with our own kids and our own family, we could tell them and we could show them. But they get it in their time. And, you know, I think that's where I am with Ashley. She, you know, has seen the work that I do. And I have a masseuse that comes right to our home. And so she knows about self-care. She knows about self-love and taking care. She sees me doing it day in and day out. And but there's a will issue that exists within her. She has to be willing to do it herself. And I can tell her, I can show her all that I want. I just think that she's at a place in her life as a 20-year-old where she needs to figure out life for herself. She really does. She really does. And, I feel really confident in knowing that I've done a good job of showing her. I've shown her how bad it could get, how we can turn around and make it better. And I've also shown her about self-love and self-care and my taking care of myself. Now it's up to her. It really is.
Yeah, you may have shown her, but now it's time to experience it with her. it's a difference when you show somebody and you doing it, but now experience it with it. You know, what if she was your girlfriend? What if your daughter was your girlfriend? How would you treat her? So, you know, when you see your girlfriend's going in a way, then you say, you know what, it's time for a time out. Maybe instead of treating her like a mother-daughter, take her out and just have a conversation. See what's really on her mind. Get into her. Don't say, listen, and see what's really going on. Sometimes as parents, we're so busy parenting, we forget to listen. We forget to experience our children. And I just, you know, felt the need to add, you know, if it don't work, that's fine. You know, I just wanted to share, you know, that thought. Maybe you can experience the idea of some self-love with her and conversation and just lightening it up and just see what's really on her mind.
Okay, I'm open to that. I'll definitely give that a try, and I'll offer her an opportunity for us to spend some quality time together. We'll see if she has time for it.
Listen to your energy, Linda. Listen to see if she had time.
I'm telling you.
I love you, Linda.
I love you too, sis.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to get ready and close out. Ed, we want to go ahead and give us your how to contact you, how to get in, you know, get in space with you, and if they want to get clearing with you, whatever they need to do. And do you still have your special package? Can you tell me
yes.
what you do? Okay.
Yes, okay. The best thing to do is to go to energycenterclearing.com. You can get your free Escaping the Matrix audiobook there. And you can also read about the Energy Center Clearing package that I offer. It's normally $39.95, and it has those two MP3s that will help pump up your energy, clear out your energy centers, and help you connect with your own innermost self more readily. But the best feature of this is it comes with a free clearing via telephone with me, and it only will take 15 minutes, but I'll clear out your energy centers, flush your energy bodies, and help you connect more deeply, which will make future meditations that much more effective. But everyone who's on the love journey right now, we also have a special deal for you. If when you purchase the thing, there's a place where you can enter your discount code. If you enter the discount code love journey, all one word, you'll save another $10 off it. So you'll get for $29.95, you'll get this package that, you know, is invaluable and can help you for the rest of your life. Now, in addition, on my same website, you'll see a menu item, Total Love Immersion, and that's similar to the meditation we did today. We did an abbreviated version today, but that's automatically on special. It was $19.95. It's $10 off, so that's also for $9.95. You get the Total Love Immersion meditation. So for a combined $9.95 plus $29.95 equals $30, $39.90, you'll get actually three meditations and a free clearing from me to help launch you on your path to your own, connecting with your own I Am presence. So that's my offer to everyone who's listening here at the Love Journey.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for coming to the Love Journey. And we just want to remind you, tomorrow is our special tribute to Dr. Johnny Coleman. Yes, 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 yes. We will be honoring her presence right here on the Love Journey, and then again on Cider Enterprises tomorrow evening. So you want to take your time out, and if you want to learn something about an amazing lady, Dr. Johnny Coleman, we're going to have some special guests. We're going to have some people coming in talking about what she's done, and then we're going to learn what she's done in our own community. So come tomorrow and bring the healing. Bring a friend, bring a healing. We want to just let you know it's going to be powerful. Thank you for tuning in today, and I want to tell my Blog Talk Radio, thank you so much, and to my Blog Talk Radio host, thank you so much, Esther, I appreciate you, and to the chat goddess, thank you so much, and to Linda, our coach who put us through our affirmations, and I missed that. Thank you so much, and James, thank you, Ed, thank you, and to all those who had a question and came today, thank you, thank you, thank you, because of all the places you could have been, you chose to be here, right here on the Love Journey. Want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice, and remember to dream and live your God-sized dreams. You get to live this life on your terms. And yes, love is the answer. My grandmother used to say, there's not an ill love can't heal. There's not a prescription love can't feel. And for every question, love is the answer. I tell you, remember, love is the way. Have a great day. See you in the morning.
Hey, Lady Love.
Yes.
I just called Ashley. We're going to dinner tomorrow at 5 o'clock.
I love you, love you, love you. I can't wait. I'm going to be sending the angels of love around you and her.
Girl, you know I listen to you when you tell me to do something. No resistance. She was like, okay.
Yeah, I heard the real resistance, but thank you for opening. I'm telling you, I raised three girls. I know how three girls can be sometimes, but, you know, it's just breaking it down with love. Love will break it down, I tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll appreciate the quality time. I know I will. So thank you for that.